For our next segment, WOOC correspondent Steve Pierce ventured to Sunset Park in Brooklyn to visit GenSpace, the world's first community biology lab. He spoke with lab manager Will Schindel, who studied biology at Arcadia University and spent several years working in the pharmaceutical industry. It was during this time that he discovered DIY biology and first came to GenSpace.
It started with a group of curious individuals in our founder Dan Grushkin's apartment, in his kitchen actually. The very first transformation, the first workshop GenSpace did was hosted there. And another one of our co-founders, Ellen Jorgensen, who was a PhD molecular biologist and who'd been working in pharmaceuticals for decades, basically brought a bunch of materials. She brought sort of the media, the DNA, the things that we needed to actually run the exercise, and Dan provided the space, and about 30 other interested individuals showed up to basically watch genetic engineering happen in a kitchen.
And what was the path that you took to GenSpace? How did you get started in this field?
So my path is actually one that I've heard this story again and again from a lot of other people who've gotten involved in DIY bio, so it's totally not unique at all. But I studied biology in college. I loved doing research. And when I graduated with my bachelor's degree, I went into the pharmaceutical industry, and it was boring. So I spent a couple of years running protocols that other people had written, basically being a mindless set of hands. We had robots in my lab that could do my job. It's just that the robots had a tendency to break down more often than humans. So there was no intellectual stimulation. There was no, you know, nothing really interesting about what I was doing to really keep me engaged. I was just, you know, one thing with biology is cells are made of water. Everything that you work with lives in water, which means that all the solutions you're working with are, for the most part, water. You're moving, you know, bits of water with different things dissolved in it from one tube to the next, and it all looks the same, and it's, you know, your throughput goes up, and it's, you know, just this mind-numbing monotony. So I didn't enjoy it. I started looking for ways that I could do, you know, side projects that might be interesting to me, but no pharma company is going to let you, you know, waste company resources on your own side projects. So, you know, that was a dead end. I started looking into building my own lab. I sort of figured I'd been working with this equipment for years. I'd been maintaining it. I could probably, you know, pick up used equipment on eBay or something for cheap and repair it, or maybe build my own equipment. I start exploring all these different options to see how challenging it might be to build my own lab. And I think along the way, I literally typed DIY bio into Google, and it turned out that was actually the name of a movement that had already been around for the better part of a decade. And it took me straight to GenSpace, and I came here, I took a class. Everything seemed pretty legit, so I signed up for membership, started spending a lot of time in the labs. I helped sort of get things a bit more organized, and you know, when I started volunteering as the lab manager, basically, and after a while doing that, we raised enough money to start hiring, paying ourselves and hiring some staff, and so I became one of our first full-time employees as a lab manager.
And what does the lab manager do?
Short answer is I keep everyone from blowing up the lab. Basically, you have to wear a lot of hats in a small organization like this, and so I spend a lot of the time just ordering reagents and stocking shelves, making sure that everything is where it belongs, and you know that we don't run out of stuff. I'm also in charge of lab safety, so I make sure that everything is up to code, that all our members are properly trained. I handle all the member and the instructor orientations, things like that. And I also act as a consultant to our members, because when you have a lab that anybody can walk in and do a project, you get a lot of people that aren't terribly familiar with biotechnology, and they have these great ideas, but you know, there's you know, a little bit of a gap between, you know, where they are now and how to actually, you know, make this happen. So I sort of, you know, provide advice, help them figure out what can and can't be done here, what steps they're going to need to take to see their project through, and just figure out sort of what its life cycle is going to look like.
And I think there's still some enduring fear amongst the general public about labs, and you know, maybe from science fiction movies and newspaper headlines. But do you feel that that's dissipated a little bit, and people are more comfortable with the idea of a community lab?
In some ways, as these labs become more commonplace, more and more people are sort of, it's becoming less alarming, in that it's sort of on everybody's radar. We do frequently get people asking if we're going to, if, you know, anybody could make a super bug or something here, but I think that's very unlikely. It's kind of, the organisms we work with are very benign. We work with yeast, which has been one of man's best friends for thousands of years. It makes our bread and our wine and our beer, among other things. We work with E. coli strains, and sometimes people hear the word E. coli and, you know, we think of food poisoning, and there definitely are pathogenic strains of E. coli out there, but there are also good strains that make some of our vitamins for us. Vitamin K is made by a friendly E. coli strain that lives in our gut, and so we use one of the friendly strains in the lab. And so these organisms are not pathogens, and they're so far removed from pathogens that it's, you know, the idea of turning one of these into something that could, you know, even make you a little sick, you know, not to say a super bug, it's kind of like, you know, tinkering with your Toyota Camry and accidentally building a tank. It's the whole chassis, the whole system just isn't built to support that type of function.
So if you're going to give somebody an elevator pitch for a community lab, what would you say about it to explain to people what is GenSpace and the movement at its heart?
It's an open access lab where anybody can come in and learn about biotechnology and get their hands wet and experience biological research.
That was Will Schindel, who, in addition to being laboratory manager at GenSpace, is working on creating a spicy tomato by engineering in the capsaicin pathway genes. For more info, you can go to genspace.org.